WMFO Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there's no due date, tolls, or expiration here in the grand hour. Good morning. It's the 14th of December, 2022. My name is Arthur. I wasn't with you last week, so I'm just going to carry over what I had in mind last week. I'm going to start the show off with a show I kind of forgot about. And actually forgot about what I was going to say about it last week, being a week later than when I wanted to play it. This is The Whistler. It's titled A Perfect Alibi. It had an original air date of the 12th of June, 1949.
Now, The Whistler's strange story. Perfect Alibi.
Entering the Golden Sparrow, a cozy little cocktail lounge near the far end of Beverly Boulevard, private investigator Johnny Seltzer, 30, handsome, off duty at the moment, found business rather quiet. He went straight to the bar and ordered a drink.
Bourbon and water. I'll mix it.
Right.
Be sure it's bonded.
Bonded it is.
Good.
Johnny carried his drink to the nearest empty table and sat down to think. Self-centered, cynical, and in his own estimation, a smooth operator, many things were on his mind, especially Johnny Seltzer himself. Things aren't going too well for you, are they, Johnny? Tom Silver, founder of the Silver Detective Agency, has threatened you with dismissal unless you change your ways. Cease gambling and give closer attention to business. You stare moodily at the lovely paintings lining the walls. You suddenly push back your chair. Then walk over to the jukebox at the end of the bar and slide a nickel into the slot. Back at your table, you sip your drink, listen to the music, and sympathize with yourself.
Hello.
Ordinarily, you would welcome the sibilant voice that seems to come from nowhere.
I like music, too.
Does that make us pals?
You don't seem very happy.
I was.
Most men would be glad to see me.
I'm different.
I'm sure you are. That's why I came over.
That was my wife's favorite line.
Maybe that's why it didn't register.
Yeah, it could be.
You don't like her much,
I didn't.
Divorced?
Hey, what are you anyway? An investigator for the World Psychology Foundation? I'm surprised you haven't asked me why I got married in the first place.
Oh, I figured that out already. Money.
It shows on you, too.
What?
Your merger with the bankroll behind that mink and ice you modeled.
Oh, no merger. Present. From a relative.
Quite a coincidence, isn't it?
What?
Two people who like money meeting up in a place like Hollywood.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's like the music says, I guess. Just two little lambs who've gone astray. Well, now that we know all about each other, let's call it a day, huh?
Why?
Why not?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe because it's still early. Maybe because it's chilly outside.
That's not good enough. I like chilly weather. Nice of you to invite yourself over. Maybe I'll run into you again sometime.
Wait a second.
Yeah?
Am I that hard to take?
How will I know?
Can I take your order?
No, thanks. I'm taking a powder.
Waiter, two bourbon and water. We'll mix them.
I said I was leaving.
Don't be like that, Johnny. sit down.
What was that name you called me?
You're Johnny Seltzer, private eye, aren't you?
Okay, you know who I am. I figure that pickup pitch was a phony. Well, like you said, I'm Johnny Seltzer.
And I'm Alice Collins.
Who's she?
She's the niece of Charles Collins.
Charles Collins? Not the number one boy of lumber.
That's what it says in the paper. I never saw my uncle till 2 years ago. He wrote and asked me how I'd like to live out here. I said I'd like it. So, here I am.
From the east?
I was born and raised in Springfield, Missouri.
Who sent you to me?
Nobody. I saw you out at Dilbo's one night last week. I asked the croupier who you were.
Oh, I see. The lady gambles, loses. Now she wants me to get her money back. Right?
Wrong.
I don't think so. What did you do? Follow me here from the office?
Mm-hmm. Am I forward?
Oh, just say hard to approach, like a department store.
Pardon me.
Okay, waiter. Let's have the check.
Just put it on my bill, will you, please?
Surely, Miss Collins.
No, no, don't. Take it out of this. Keep the change.
Thank you, sir.
That was nice of you, Johnny.
Cigarette?
Thanks.
Look, Springfield.
Hmm?
You got an angle or you wouldn't be talking to me. What is it?
You ought to get over that inferiority complex. There's no angle. I just thought you'd be a nice guy to know. Later on, after I know you better, I might be able to throw a little business your way.
Detective business?
Terrific detective business. Maybe as much as $20,000.
Gee, that's nice money. Mm. Too bad I work on a straight salary. The Tom Silver Detective Agency makes the deals.
Not this one. This would be a special deal, Johnny. $20,000 just for you. Interested?
If it was legit, you wouldn't be putting out that kind of dough.
You're jumping to conclusions, aren't you?
Maybe. But if I'm wrong, you can always take it up with the agency. You know where the office is.
Okay, Johnny, but if you ever change your mind and want to talk it over, call me up.
I will. So long, Springfield.
You can get me almost any afternoon at Melrose 54321. That's easy to remember, Johnny. All you have to do is count five backwards.
When you leave her, you're sure you've seen the last of Alice Collins, aren't you, Johnny? Yet a few days later, you're not so sure. Your boss has you on the carpet again, and you have an unpleasant feeling you'll soon be out of a job. $20,000 is a lot of money, and Alice herself is something to ponder over. She's really beautiful, isn't she? You can't forget her lovely features, her low, musical voice. The things she said keep repeating themselves. Especially the unusual deal for $20,000. A few afternoons later, you enter a drugstore, cross to the phone booth, the words of Alice Collins echoing in your mind.
You can get me at Melrose 54321. That's easy to remember, Johnny. All you have to do is count five back.
Back to the Whistler.
Well, Johnny, a few days ago when you left the Golden Sparrow after your pickup tete-a-tete with Alice Collins, niece of the multimillionaire lumberman Charles Collins, you didn't expect to see her again, did you? You're a licensed detective, and she sounded like trouble. But with things piling up on you, you decide you're a little hasty. An hour after phoning her, you drive to a modest little apartment building on Fountain Avenue near Coenga. Curious, but still cautious, you knock lightly on the door.
Hello, Springfield.
Hello, Johnny. Come in.
Still like music, huh?
Mm-hmm. I remembered the song, too.
You did at that.
Here, let me take your hat. Then we'll go into the sunroom. Sit here, Johnny. Help yourself. Cigarette, scotch, and this is ice water.
Ah, it's cozy, very cozy.
My uncle gives me a very nice allowance. I stay here during the week and spend the weekends out at his home near the ocean.
Quite a home from what I hear. Swimming pool, badminton court.
Yeah, but I'm young and I like to go places. Mm-hmm. Uncle Charles didn't want me to drive out there alone late at night all the time, so he suggested I take an apartment in town. You see, I'm his only blood relative.
You ought to have quite a future.
Mm-hmm. If I'm not an old lady before anything happens to him.
I wouldn't dwell on it. Nobody lives forever.
Excuse me, Johnny?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, Frankie.
Hello, beautiful. Here.
Oh, kids, oh, they're lovely.
So are you. How about a drink, huh?
Mm-hmm. In the sunroom. You can mix one while I put these in the icebox. I've been talking with a man for Uncle Charles. Mr. Selson.
Oh, Snoop.
You two know each other?
For years. Hi, Frankie. What are you doing here?
I'm here a lot. How gorgeous.
Yes. You see, Mr. Selfie...
What I can't figure out is what Snoop is doing here.
Business. Strictly business, Frankie.
Yes, you see, Frankie, Uncle Charles hasn't been well. He heard rumors that things at the mill weren't on the up and up, and he asked me to make some inquiries.
Why didn't you ask me about it, baby? I'd have gotten you the best in the business.
You don't think Selfie's good?
Oh, he's all right. Forget it, Snoop. Sorry, acting like I was sore, but when you're nuts about a dame, well, you know how it is.
Sure, Frankie, I know. It's okay.
Have a cigarette?
Thanks.
Well, I'll be back in just a second. I want to put these on ice.
That's okay. Take your time. Yeah. Nice cigarette. Class, too. F.B., Frankie Benson, huh? An old English. Everything.
You really like it, huh?
Like I said, Frankie, class.
Oh, here. Take a bunch of them.
No, I didn't mean...
No, go ahead. Order them by the gross.
Well, thanks.
This job for old man Collins you're talking to the doll about.
I don't know a thing about it, yet I got here 2 minutes before you did.
No. How about a drink?
Yeah, sounds fine.
I think I'll skip it, baby. You got to talk to the Snoop here. I'll pick you up for dinner about 7, okay?
Sure, fine.
Good. Drop out to my place later on, Snoop. Stay around 5:30. Might have an idea for you.
5:30 it is. So long, Frankie.
Well, Johnny, your golden girl seems a little tarnished, doesn't she? Not that you're surprised, but you are disappointed. And a little nettled to realize that a girl with the background of Alice Collins would waste her time on a gambler. A glorified hoodlum like Frankie Benson, operator of the notorious Dilbo's Gambling Club. After Frankie's departure, you make no attempt to hide your annoyance.
Nice friends you got.
You think I'm Frankie Benson's girl, don't you?
Aren't you?
No.
He thinks so.
I know he does. The way things are, I've had to let him think so. I owe him money, Johnny, a lot of money.
Oh, so the lady did gamble and lose.
Yes, she did. And if Uncle Charles finds out, he'll cut off my allowance like that. Maybe he'd send me back to Springfield.
So you want me to get your money back, huh? Mm-mm. This is where I came in. Frankie Benson plays too rough for me. Way too rough.
Wrong again, Johnny. I don't want you to stick your neck out for me with a guy like Benson.
What do you want me to do?
Just be a pal for a while, that's all.
Look, Springfield. That day I met you, you mentioned a piece of business you could throw my way. $20,000 worth.
I said we'd talk about that after I knew you better.
How long is that going to take?
Not very long, I think.
After you leave Alice, you head for Dilbo's, as Frankie Benson suggested. And as you drive, your imagination goes far beyond anything you've ever thought of. You decide to marry Alice Collins. She's beautiful, and someday she'll inherit the Collins lumber fortune, reported to amount to more than $2 million. But you're worried about her connection with Frankie Benson. Frankie usually gets what he wants, in one way or another. And when he doesn't, well, accidents happen, don't they? But when you enter his office, He's more than friendly.
Hello, Sherlock. Sit down.
Yeah, thanks.
Here, take a handful of cigarettes. You said you like them?
Yeah, like I said, they're class.
I haven't seen you around lately, Johnny. What's the matter? Don't you like to play here anymore?
Sure, Frankie, but... Well, I owe you a couple of hundred right now, and I figured I'd better pay up before...
Oh, your credit's always good here, Johnny. Within reason. As long as we're friends.
Well, that's nice to know. What do you want to see me about?
Nothing in particular. I was just curious about that Snoop job for old man Collins. Tell me, is it all set?
I don't know. Miss Collins is going to talk to her uncle about it. I'll know in a couple of days.
How come she picked you?
Well, she didn't. Just called the office. The boss sent me out to talk to her.
Sure glad you told me that, Johnny. You know, I've always liked you. If there's anything I hate, it's being jealous of a guy I like.
Like I told you, Miss Collins called as a client. The boss sent me out there. It's strictly business, Frank.
That's fine, Johnny. Hope you keep it that way. Both of you.
Frankie Benson's cordial manner doesn't fool you for a minute, does it, Johnny? It only makes his thinly veiled threats more pointed. At heart, Frankie Benson is still a gangster of the old school. You have no intention of giving up Alice Collins, but you decide you'd better be careful. And for the next few weeks, your meetings with Alice are at out-of-the-way places, usually some distance into the country. You're determined that nothing is going to prevent your marrying her and enjoying the fortune which will be hers after the death of her uncle. You're also very curious about the special $20,000 job she mentioned. One evening after dinner, you decide it's time for a showdown. You phone her, find she's alone, and drop by her apartment. She seems tense and excited.
Frankie Benson dropped in this afternoon, Johnny. He wasn't very pleasant.
You're playing with dynamite leading that guy on. He always takes care of Welchers. And when he falls for a dame, he really falls. Last one that double-crossed him had a very peculiar accident. She fell on a letter opener.
Yes, I know. He told me about it today while I was opening the afternoon meal. He gave me an ultimatum today, Johnny. Marry him or pay up in 2 weeks.
Can't you figure some way to get the money from your uncle?
$33,000? Not while he's alive. Of course, Uncle could go any time. He's a restless sleeper. He's got asthma and a weak heart. We might even get tangled up in the bedclothes some night and smother.
You think that might happen?
We could.
And if it did, there'd be $20,000 in it for me, right?
Yes, Johnny. $20,000 just for you.
No, it's too risky. I wouldn't be around long enough to spend it.
No risk at all. I'll take you out to Uncle Charles a couple of times. By the time you make up your mind, you'll know every foot of the place. You'd have the key to the front door right in your pocket.
The servants would all be hard of hearing, huh?
On Thursday night, they're all out, except Whitcomb, the butler. He's always there in case Uncle Charles needs him.
Oh, wait a minute. You expect me to...
Whitcomb's no problem. No problem at all. He always reads in the library near the phone. You see, you'll open the front door at 11 o'clock. But at 2 minutes before 11... I'll phone the house. When Whitcomb answers, I'll hold him for 10 minutes at least. That'll give you all the time you need. Uncle Charles' death will be the most natural thing in the world. The doctor says it could happen any time.
You've really figured it out, haven't you?
A long time ago.
I'm afraid you picked the wrong guy. There's too many chances for a slip-up. Things could go wrong. The doc might get suspicious, find it was murder.
What if he does? You won't be connected with it. You'll have a perfect alibi.
What?
You'll be with me at my place all evening. There's no reason to think I'd wish my uncle any harm. We'll have a few drinks. You can leave your fingerprints all over the place. Forget your cigarette case, your top coat. It'll stand up. What about it, Johnny?
$20,000's not enough.
After the will's settled, I'll double it.
That's not enough either. I'm not interested in the money anymore. I want you, Springfield. I want to marry you.
Do you think I'd ever let you get away from me, Johnny?
Like that.
So did I. What about next Thursday, Johnny?
Maybe. I gotta figure out the other half of the problem first.
The other half?
Frankie Benson. As long as he's around, what happens to your uncle won't mean a thing.
And you do figure it out, don't you, Johnny? Frankie Benson's monogram cigarettes. Instead of making Mr. Collins' death look like an accident, you let it look like murder. A murder that will send Frankie Benson to the gas chamber. The following Thursday evening, sitting in Alice's apartment, you're still determined to go through with your plans. But you're nervous, worried about the details.
Look, Springfield, about Frankie Benson.
He called up a couple of minutes ago, Johnny. Wanted to drop over for a while. I told him I had a headache.
What'd he say?
Johnny, he's beginning to scare me. He told me I'd better take a nap. Said I might get dizzy and fall down and hurt myself. He said he'd call back in a couple of hours, see how I feel.
Good.
What?
That's all I need. I was trying to figure some way to get him out of his place, unaccounted for. It takes about 40 minutes to drive from Dubose to here. When he calls back, tell him to come over, about 11:15.
But I thought
I'm taking care of Frankie tonight, too, with one of these.
Frankie's monogram cigarette.
Yeah. I've worked it all out, Springfield. All I needed was a break, like Frankie's phone call. Tonight's job's going to be murder. A murder that'll send Frankie Benson to the gas chamber.
No, Johnny, the other way's safer.
We won't get another chance like this in a million years. When I leave, I'll drop one of his monogram cigarettes by the front door. The rest is automatic.
Johnny, Johnny, it won't work. The cigarette will point to Frankie, sure, but he won't stand up when he tells the police he was framed. They'll believe him. Frankie hasn't any reason to kill Uncle Charles.
I've taken care of that, too. I called the DA this afternoon, said I was your uncle, and told him to send a man out tomorrow morning. The newspaper boys will be there, too. They're expecting a big story about Frankie Benson.
You're out of your mind, Johnny. Uncle Charles never gambled in his life. He never even heard of Frankie Benson.
The district attorney heard different. He thinks your uncle found out about your gambling losses to Frankie and sent a private eye out to Dilbo's. The guy picked up a couple of pairs of dice. Loaded. Yeah. Cute, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it is, but what about Frankie's coming here tonight?
That's the clincher. When he gets here, your headache will be so bad you'll have to send him away. When the cops pick him up, if he tells them he was here, he's lying. That's my alibi. I was here all evening.
It'll work. Johnny, it'll work. You're wonderful.
That's it, baby. With you to back me, it can't miss.
I'll be waiting for you, Johnny.
I'm not coming back here tonight, baby. Our alibi is all set. The evidence will back us up. I think it's better if I just go home and stay there for a day or so.
I guess you're right. Johnny, come here. That's for luck, darling.
Whistler will return in just a moment with a strange ending to tonight's story.
And now back to the Whistler.
Taking care of Charles Collins was simple, wasn't it, Johnny? Everything went exactly as you planned. And it came easy to you, didn't it? You even slept soundly afterward. In your apartment the following morning, lolling back in your one comfortable chair, you read the whole story in the papers, all over the front page. Lumber King murdered. Police solve case in record time. Killer apprehended. Everything worked out exactly as you planned, didn't it, Johnny? And in a few months you'll marry Alice Collins and the Collins fortune. As the doorbell rings, you decide it must be another bill collector. That amuses you, doesn't it? You stroll leisurely to the door and turn the knob.
Well, Lieutenant Jennings and Company. Come on in, boys.
No, I haven't got time, Johnny. Besides, we can talk better downtown. You get your hat.
Is that official?
Very. Murder, Johnny. Collins killing last night.
Oh, the Collins killing.
You've been seeing a lot of Alice Collins lately, haven't you, Johnny?
Sure, she's a client. I was with her last night, at her apartment, as a matter of fact. From 9 till nearly 1 this morning.
Is that an official statement?
Of course it is.
You make a note of that, Sergeant?
Right, Lieutenant.
Oh, we know about that, Johnny. You left your fingerprints all over the place. You must have been pretty high. Even forgot your top coat and your cigarette case.
Well, I'll admit we had a few drinks. What's the idea, Lieutenant? Morning paper says you've already nabbed the guy that killed old man Collins.
Oh, we have. Frankie Benson. He was a little noisy making his exit. He got panicky, dropped his card when he opened the front door. A half-smoked cigarette, monogrammed, his own special brand.
Benson admitted it?
Oh, no. That alibi of his was so phony, he's as good as convicted right now.
Oh, but what motive would Benson have?
Plenty. Mr. Collins had him cold. Crooked game, loaded dice. He was going to give the DA and the newspapers the whole story this morning.
Well, if you got everything sewed up, why do you want to talk to me about the Charles Collins murder?
Oh, we're taking you in for the murder of his niece, Alice Collins, Johnny. She got hers about 11:30 last night in her apartment, stabbed with a letter opener. As if you didn't know. Pretty clumsy accident, Johnny.
By Wilbur Hatch and is the property of Herman Music Incorporated, ASCAP, Hollywood, California. Broadcast rights granted solely to Audio Arts Productions, La Mirada, California. From
we heard The Whistler. Perfect Alibi was the title of that story, with an original air date of the 12th of June, 1949. It's almost like schizophrenia. You got some voice talking and whistling. If you were the character, that is. Jack Webb was one of those characters. I think he maybe disguised his voice a little bit. Well, that would have been before he'd been mixed up in a couple of other dramas at that time, like Johnny Madero and On the Cusp of Dragnet. That's why I selected that one. Let's just take a few seconds here for a public service announcement.
If you want to stay alive this holiday season, when you drink, plan not to drive. We'll tell you the reason. You could lose your license and end up doing time. Pay thousands of dollars too in lawyers' fees and fines.
This holiday season, if you plan to drink, plan how to get home safely. Designate a driver or call a cab.
Make a plan before you go, when your head is clear. Don't wait till you've had eggnog, hot wassail, or beer.
Brought to you by the Texas Department of Transportation.
Thank you, Texas Department of Transportation. I'm surprised our old friend, the Ad Council, didn't have their fingers in that pie. My name is Arthur, and you're listening to The Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. For the second half of today's program, I'm going to revisit our old friend Bob Bailey. This is his most famous program, Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. I remember when I saw this one, I thought it was the Sultan oil matter, but in haste, it's actually the suntan oil matter. This had an original air date of the 10th of March, 1957. Thanks for listening.
From Hollywood, it's time now for
Johnny Dollar.
Dave Lawler, Johnny, over at Surety Mutual and Trust Company.
Oh, hi, Dave. Long time.
Yeah, I know. Listen, you own a pair of dark sunglasses and some real loud sports shirts?
Mine are so loud I have to keep them in a soundproof drawer.
Great. But where you'll be at this time tomorrow, nobody will give them a second look.
Oh? Like where?
Well, according to the travel folders, it's, quote, the land where the summer spends the winter, unquote. In other words...
Palm Springs, California. Dave, you're on.
Good.
But don't forget, this can be pretty expensive for your company.
Oh, more than you know, Johnny. $75,000 hard cash.
Wowee.
Unless you're able to prove the bracelet Dan Galloway gave to his child bride wasn't really stolen.
For a trip to Palm Springs at this time of year, I think I could prove anything.
Bob Bailey in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Home Office, Surety Mutual and Trust Company, Franklin Building, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the suntan oil matter. Expense account item one, $197.40, airline fare and incidentals, Hartford to Palm Springs, California. I registered at La Casa de Paz on South Palm Canyon Drive, changed into casual clothes, and sauntered over to police headquarters. Detective Sergeant Lacey was about to leave for lunch, so I went along with him.
Yeah, Dollar, you'd be surprised at how much stuff is lost in this town during the course of just one season.
The report we got says it was stolen, Sergeant.
Oh, sure, sure. But I doubt it.
A $75,000 bracelet just 5 days old? That'd be a little careless of the lady, wouldn't it?
Well, if you were married to one of the biggest wildcatters in the oil business, maybe you could afford to be careless.
What about Dan Galloway? Didn't you say he was drilling somewhere around here?
About 80 miles south in the middle of the desert down by Salton Sea.
Salton Sea. Oh, that's really a big inland lake that lies way down below sea level, isn't it?
You want to bring me a check, Dottie? 245 feet below sea level, Dollar.
There's oil there?
Dan Galloway figures it this way. One of the most successful new fields that's been worked in years is deep under the Gulf of Mexico off the coast of Louisiana. There are a lot of salt domes down there, and underneath them are big pools of oil. Millions of barrels. So, why not under the Salton Sea, which is all salt deposits?
Who knows? Maybe he has something. Anybody else drilling down there?
Just Galloway. Who else needs it? I mean, any more than he does.
Well, does he?
All yours, Dottie. How would I know if Galloway needs it? But there has been talk around, you know.
But if he's hard up, how could he afford that fancy bracelet last week?
Yeah, or the snazzy Italian sports car the week before that. I don't know either, Dollar.
What about his wife?
Oh, that Roberta. What a doll. And in 3D, if you know what I mean. How an old coot like him could ever latch onto a pretty little chick like her? Ruff!
I take it Roberta's somewhat younger than her husband.
Oh, not more than 35, 40 years.
Oh, I see. How long have they been married?
Two, maybe 3 years. Down in Dallas, I think it was. She's a Texas girl.
Well, is it working out? I mean, are they happy?
There's talk about that, too.
What kind of talk?
Oh, it's really just small-town gossip for the most part. Ever hear of Sonny Wyman?
Wyman? No.
Well, Sonny's around Roberta's age. One of those kids who came up from nothing, but all the time knew exactly where he was going. You know, made a point of meeting the right people, shaking the right hands. Real nice kid, too.
What's he do?
When the season's over here, he works Pasadena, Beverly Hills, and L.A. Always has something that'll intrigue his wealthy friends. This season, it's Italian sports cars. Cosmo Romas, I think they are.
And he's the one who sold the Galloways theirs, huh?
He sold Roberta hers.
Any angle there in connection with the bracelet?
There is. You let me know.
Well, if there isn't, what have you been working up to?
Well, actually, nothing. You see, I still believe it was lost.
Expense account item two, $35 for rental of a drive-your-own car. I found the Galloway place about 2 miles out north and east of town. As I parked in the broad U-shaped driveway, I noticed a low, shiny, suntan-colored sports car standing in the shade of a date palm back by the garage. I started over to take a look at it, but the front door of the house opened, a Filipino boy appeared, took my name, and showed me into the living room. Through the solid wall of picture windows, I could see that the whole place was built around a kidney-shaped swimming pool. Huh, mighty inviting. And so was Roberta, Mrs. Galloway, when she stepped into the room a minute or two later.
Hi there, Mr. Dollar. My, it's nice of you to come all the way out here.
Yeah, Sergeant Lacey was right. Roberta was a living doll. 22 or 3, trim, petite, and with a figure that... Well, let's not go into that. She said it would be more comfortable out on the lanai beside the pool.
I just wish there was something I could tell you about that bracelet that'd help you find it, Mr. Dollar, but... Well, just must have been stolen.
Well, it makes no difference insofar as your claim is concerned, Mrs. Galloway. The company will still have to pay up, you know, unless, of course, it's found.
Oh, I know that. How do you go about your investigation? I mean, do you offer a reward or something?
Usually, yes. Of course, it depends on...
How much have they offered for my bracelet?
Well, frankly, I haven't checked on that yet. But now, Mrs.
How
Galloway...
How much would you guess, Johnny?
Well, claim this size, probably somewhere between 10 and 30%.
What's the matter, Johnny? Your ear's out a mile.
Nothing. I just thought I heard...
Now, that's funny. I didn't hear a thing.
But I had. Quick footsteps somewhere in the house. Then a door open and close. Then a few seconds later, the unmistakable growl of a high-powered engine thundering out through twin straight pipes.
Oh, that. Probably some hot rod fan in the neighborhood just drove by. Aren't they
She
all...
prattled on for another hour or so and again asked about possibilities of a reward for her bracelet. But so far as helpful information was concerned, she came up with nothing. So I excused myself and drove back to town. I wanted to talk to the driver of that sports car. I also wanted to check with Wilhoit Van Hook, the jeweler who had sold the bracelet. I found his shop on Palm Canyon Drive, a small place, but very ultra-ultra. As I was about to enter the door...
Hey, Mr. Dollar, got a minute?
Oh, yeah, sure. 2 or 3 minutes. And I like your car. Mr. Wyman, isn't it?
That's right. How'd you know?
How'd you know mine?
Yeah, real cloak and dagger stuff, huh? You knew I was out at Berta's house, didn't you?
Well, it seemed pretty obvious when I heard you hot-footed for the door and then heard this pint-sized monster of yours barrel off.
Hey, you wouldn't like to buy a Cosmo Roma, would you? It's a real dilly.
Oh, I'd like nothing better, but I'm out here on a job.
Yeah, I know. That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
Well, you know anything that'll help me?
Not much, I'm afraid. But I'll be glad to tell you anything I can. You going in to see Willie?
Willie?
Yeah, you know, Wilhoit Van Hook, the jeweler.
I was, yeah. Why? Do you know him?
Know him? I sold him one of these. One exactly like mine. And we're both going to be in the rally they're holding next Sunday. You ever see a good sports car race?
No, I'm afraid not.
Well, we'll soon fix that. And look, after you've talked to Willie, if you want to go down to where Dan Galloway is drilling his new well, I'll be glad to give you a lift.
Good idea. But I don't want to take you out of your way.
Oh, not at all. I was going that way anyhow. Besides, I thought it might give us a chance to talk a little.
Sure, Wyman. Why not? With a name like Wilhoit Van Hook, I expected... Well, I don't know what I expected. As it turned out, he was a smartly dressed chap of about 40, tall and slim, blonde hair and quick blue eyes, an alert mind. I told him why I was in Palm Springs, showed him my credentials, and he immediately offered full cooperation.
Now, here we are, Mr. Dollar. Here's a copy of the appraisal. A duplicate of the statement I sent Dan Galloway. And here... Yes, here's a sketch of the bracelet.
Ah, very good.
Diamonds here. Emeralds. And the mounting is yellow gold. Hand worked, all of it.
Mm-hmm. One thing I can't help wondering about, Mr. Van Hook.
Yes?
Isn't a $75,000 bracelet a bit unusual for a shop in a resort town?
As a matter of fact, it is. As you can see, I specialize in rare and exclusive sort of things. But very little over, say, $10,000 or $12,000.
Then the Galloway bracelet was an exception.
Yes. After Dan told me what he had in mind to give to his wife, I had some sent over from Pasadena and Los Angeles by wholesalers with whom I do business. You know, had them shipped down on consignment. He liked one, and that was that.
I see.
Mr. Dollar, I wouldn't want this to go any farther, of course. But after all, jewelers and insurance companies are... Well, our businesses are pretty well tied together, at least on occasion.
Yes, unfortunately. But what are you getting at?
I'll tell you. 2 days after the bracelet was delivered, one morning, just as I was opening up, Dan came in here.
So?
He was ill at ease, looked worried. He said he had to have some cash quickly. He asked if I could possibly refund his money.
Oh? Did you?
No, because I couldn't. Things have been rather slow for me this season. Quite frankly, I'd used all I'd made on the bracelet to pay up some old bills. I told him as much and that I was sorry, but I just couldn't help him.
Did Galloway say why he had to have that much cash right away?
Yes.
Well?
I don't know much about oil drilling, but as I understand it, his test well is down some 400 feet further than he'd planned on going. And the day before he came in here, something on his rig had broken loose and left him with a highly expensive repair job before he could proceed any further. Apparently, it was all very serious and very expensive.
Hmm. Strange, his wife didn't seem to be bothered. I just talked to her.
Berta? Believe me, Mr. Dollar, she wouldn't be. In fact, I doubt if she even knows.
Oh?
Figure it out for yourself. A man of nearly 60 who has to give bracelets and fancy cars to his wife to keep up her interest. Well, you'd hardly expect him to tell her that kind of news, now would you?
No, I suppose not. Especially if he's worried about the competition.
And if you ask me, he has competition. If only he could see it.
That suntan and chrome Cosmoroma was all Sonny Wyman claimed it was. It purred like a kitten, performed beautifully. But I was more interested at the moment in what Sonny wanted to talk about.
Johnny, I'm going to be perfectly blunt with you.
I'll go along with that.
Out at the house a while ago, I felt pretty foolish when you arrived and Berta insisted I hide until she could get you out on the lanai.
Did she have any particular reason?
Well, you see, we know that... Well, there's some talk going around about Berta and me.
Any truth in it, Sonny?
A little, I guess. You saw her.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, there's nothing serious between us. It's just that, well, with Dan away so much of the time, we have fun together.
Yeah, sure. Now, what about the bracelet?
You mean who might have stolen it?
That's the general idea.
I don't know. I have no idea. That sound funny to you?
Should it?
Well, after all, Dan and Berta keeping their house open to everybody. People in to swim, play badminton, cocktails, barbecues. I guess half the population of Palm Springs has been there at one time or another. And even if it weren't an invited guest, why, it'd be simple for someone to just sneak in and walk off with it.
Providing, of course, they knew where it was kept.
Well, yeah, someone who was close enough to... Well, yeah, I heard Berta ask you about a reward for it.
You think a big enough reward would turn it up?
I would think so. I understand that stolen jewelry brings about 20 cents on the dollar.
Sometimes it brings 20 cents. Sometimes 20 years.
I just wonder.
How's the car business doing, Sonny?
Oh, great, great. It's really one of the reasons I'm driving out this way.
Oh, a prospect? An oil-rich Indian or a well-to-do prairie dog?
Hardly. No, I told you we were having a sports car rally on Sunday. Well, being the promoter, so to speak, I'm going down to check the course. If you're still around, you ought to come.
Oh, maybe I will.
Having some good events, too. Willie Van Hook and I are running a match race. He's quite a bug, you know. And ever since I sold him the twin to this job, he's been working it over. Special carburetor, racing cams, everything.
And no wonder I can't afford this kind of stuff.
Oh, man. You'd be amazed at the amount of money that changes hands.
Hey, wait a minute, Sonny. Isn't that an oil rig over there?
Yeah, Dan Galloway's. The rig itself's about 50 feet out in the lake. The shack or office or whatever you want to call it's over the other way. You see? About a quarter of a mile beyond those Joshua trees. I'll drive you over.
He did. There was an old car parked near the shack, so we figured Dan Galloway must be inside. Sonny Wyman dropped me in front of it, then took off in a cloud of dust and exhaust gas. I picked my way between the cactus plants, opened the door without knocking, and barged right in. Mr.,
Oh, hello.
No use asking. If Mr. Galloway is here, I can see he isn't.
No, he isn't.
Is it all right if I wait? I'm Johnny Dollar.
I'm Mrs. Galloway, Mr. Dollar.
Huh?
Hell, that is, I'm the first Mrs. Galloway. The former. The one who scrimped and saved while Dan was booming around every oil field all over the country trying to make his score. I'm the forgotten Mrs. Galloway.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Are you expecting him back soon?
Who knows? I've been waiting here 3 hours. But I'll wait 3 days if I have to. Promises, that's all. Promises.
What do you mean, Mrs. Galloway?
After working to help him the way I did for all those years, and then to be tossed over for somebody else who never did a lick of work in her life. Oh, sure. Give me anything I want if I let him free. So what have I got? Promises.
Well, I'm sorry. But getting all upset isn't going to help.
Well, wouldn't you be upset if you had more than $18,000 in back alimony coming to you? And with them living like royalty?
Oh, I see.
Well, he's not going to keep on getting away with it. That's why I'm here.
Well, now that gun in your handbag isn't the answer, I'm afraid.
How'd you know?
I've seen that kind of bulge in a handbag before. You really have ideas about using it on him? Well?
Why? Oh, I don't know. There are times when I feel as though killing would be too good for him. Then there are other times when... Oh, I don't know.
Well, here, better let me
no.
have it.
No, leave me alone!
Well, I'm not going to sit here and try to make sense with somebody as upset as you are who has a gun.
Well, how would you feel? What would you do if you were me?
How should I know? But killing him isn't the answer.
Isn't it?
Or sitting here shouting at me.
Who are you anyway? What are you doing here?
I came out here to see your husband, your ex-husband, on business.
What kind of business?
A friend drove me out here and figured Dan would drive me back. But since he isn't around, there's no point in my staying here. Or you either.
Well, maybe you aren't
going to
stay...
You have a car, so you and I are driving back to Palm Springs.
I'm not leaving here till I see Dan. Until I get some money from him. Or see him dead. Maybe he's at the well.
All right. Maybe he is over there. Now, come on. Why I took this on, I didn't know. But I couldn't leave that slightly frantic woman sitting there, waiting, with murder in her heart. For all I knew, she'd murdered Dan already. Better inspect the gun later. The road down toward the oil rig was just a pair of ruts in the desert sand. Then just as we cut in between some yucca plants and a wind-blown Joshua tree, I slammed on the brakes. There, in the middle of the trail, lay a man's body, crushed and twisted. Dan Galloway had been carefully, repeatedly, run over by a car. Expense account item 3, $1.19 for a quick phone call to Sergeant Lacey in Palm Springs and smelling salts and a bromide for Florida, the ex-Mrs. Galloway. Then I dropped her off at the Galloway house. She and Roberta ended up consoling each other while I huddled with Lacey in his office at headquarters.
Some of the boys are still out there, Dollar, checking tire prints, taking pictures, and so on.
No clue as to who ran Galloway down?
Not yet. Looked to me as though Galloway stepped out of his own car to see whoever had pulled up in the other and was run down for his trouble. The car that did it ran around in a circle over and over him.
Any suspects, Sergeant?
You found his ex-wife, Flora, waiting for him in the field office, you said.
That's right.
And she was pretty nervous, on edge, you say.
So?
Also, she was carrying a gun.
Whoa, now, wait a minute.
Any reason why she couldn't have run him down earlier, then gone back and just waited for somebody like you to come along? Somebody with whom she could then discover the body?
Only one hitch.
You told me yourself, Dollar, that she was pretty insistent about your going over there to look for Galloway.
Yeah, I know. But, Sergeant, you're off on the wrong foot.
Why?
Because of the tracks left by the killer's car. They didn't match the tires on Flora's car.
You checked?
I checked. And if I were you, I'd have your boys find out whose car did make those tracks.
I'm way ahead of you.
Well, if you know, then what do you...
Hey, wait a second. Yeah?
Levine, Sergeant. I got news for you.
Hey, listen to this, Dollar.
About those tire tracks at the scene of the killing.
Well, right on cue.
They're the same make and size as the tires on Sonny Wyman's Cosmo Roma.
You sure?
Well, I told you, it's a scene. I thought it was a sports car by the small size of the circle the tracks made.
Yeah?
And knowing the feeling between Wyman and Galloway, I went right over to his place. Nice, clean tracks all over. And they match.
You're holding Wyman?
Oh, well, I don't know where he is, Sergeant. He wasn't at his place, and there was no answer to the phone at his showroom.
Well, then get after him. Put out a flash on him. With that car, he shouldn't be too hard to find. Let me know when he's picked up.
Yes, sir.
What do you think, Sergeant?
You know something, Dollar? I have a notion that when we find Sonny Wyman, we'll also find out what happened to that bracelet.
Yeah, could be. One thing was certain. Dan Galloway could no longer be suspect in the case. But Roberta? Why not? Maybe she did know that Dan had run out of money. Maybe that's why she was so interested in the amount of reward for the bracelet. Now, what about Sonny Wyman? Well, it looked bad. A smart young opportunist out for the fast buck. And, of course, close to Galloway's wife. Anything he could do to hurt Galloway would help him. And now these tire tracks, the one solid clue to Galloway's killer. Sergeant Lacey and I drove out to the Galloway house.
I know, Johnny. I haven't seen Sonny since he left here this afternoon. That's when you were here.
He didn't call up?
Why should he call up?
Why shouldn't he call, Roberta, if he'd heard that Dan was killed?
Now you listen here, Mr. Dollar. If you're trying to trick me into saying something about Sonny having anything to do with Dan's death, you're wasting your time. And what's more... Pardon me. Hello? Oh, yes. Just a minute. For you, Sergeant Lacey.
Oh, thanks. Hello? Yes? Yes, when? Yeah, I see. Okay, Levine, thanks.
Has he found Sonny Wyman?
He sure has. And if you want to see him, you'll have to go to the coroner's office.
What?
Oh, no.
Yeah, that souped-up car of his, a couple of miles out of town. Ran off a curve and over a 100-foot bank.
Within minutes, Lacey and I were at the scene of the accident, looking things over with the help of flashlights.
Yeah, he must have been really burning up the road to spin and roll this far off the highway.
But surely he must have been familiar with that curve.
Oh, sure. He knew these roads around here as well as anybody in the county.
Tires still in one piece, too. And these sport cars usually corner pretty well.
Well, this one didn't.
Hey, Lacey, look here.
Yeah?
This left rear fender. Looks to me like this car was sideswiped.
Hey, you're right. Rolling over never make a long crease like that.
Uh-huh.
No, wait. If another car sideswiped him, there'd be paint on this fender. Paint from the other car.
Sergeant, you're absolutely right.
And since there's none here...
Sergeant, you're absolutely wrong. How far to the nearest filling station?
What?
I want to make a couple of calls to some wholesale jewelers in Pasadena and Los Angeles.
Right now, in the middle of the night?
Right now.
Wholesale jewelers?
Expense account item 4, $11.90, phone calls to Pasadena and L.A. The third call yielded Mr. Alfred Menken of Menken Imports Incorporated, who was pretty cheerful about having been gotten out of bed.
It's quite all right, Mr. Dollar. Now that I'm up, I'm wide awake almost.
Well, I hate to throw something like this at you in the middle of the night, Mr. Menken, but tell me, please. Did you ship a diamond and emerald bracelet to Will Hoyt Van Hook in Palm Springs within the past few weeks?
Why, yes, Mr. Dollar.
Oh?
As a matter of fact, I sent him three. That was 2 weeks ago, and he returned them all.
Returned them? When?
Well, two of them the day after he got them. But the third one he kept for a while. I got it back just last Thursday. Now, I don't know if that means anything to you.
You bet it does. Thanks very much. Lacey and I piled into one squad car, four patrolmen in another. It was several miles out to the little ranch where Van Hook lived, and Lacey and I chewed it over as we drove along.
It don't hold out on me, Johnny. Whatever made you think a Willie Van Hook is the one who drove Sonny Wyman off the road?
Well, apparently there was no paint on that fender from the car that sideswiped him. Actually, there was.
Holy... Of course. Van Hook's car is exactly the same color as Sonny's.
Another thing. The car that ran down Galloway, like the one Sonny drove, even down to the tires, but not necessarily the same car. Plus the fact I couldn't help wondering about Van Hook all along.
Yeah, but why?
In a job like mine, you have to wonder about everybody connected with a case.
Anything particular about Van Hook?
Well, he told me that he'd use the money he got from Galloway to pay off some overdue bills. And yet, a few weeks ago, he was able to buy an $8,000 sports car.
It ties up, Dollar. It all ties up. But how did Sonny Wyman figure in it?
Oh, Sonny was a fellow who lived by his wits. He may have reached the same conclusion about Van Hook that I did. May have had an idea for latching onto the reward money. He mentioned the matter of reward to me a couple of times.
Or he may have had ideas for blackmailing Van Hook.
Another thing. Van Hook saw me drive away from his shop in Sonny's car. That meant he had to act fast, get rid of Galloway, who'd given him back the bracelet, and, of course, take Sonny out of the picture, too.
Yeah, it all seems to add up very nicely. And when we face Van Hook, well, there's his place now. Yeah, here's his driveway.
Well, either he's skipped out or he's asleep. No lights on in the place.
Well, if you ask me, he's far...
No, wait.
Yeah?
The third window on the right. The blind was pulled away for a second or two.
Well, then let's get out of this car. We're sitting ducks in here.
Well, how about it, Sergeant? What do we do?
You boys split up. Cover the back and sides of the house.
He's in there?
Yeah.
Okay, boys. Come on. All
right, Johnny, maybe you better keep out of this.
Are you kidding? Hey, listen.
That car door, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, I know.
Holy... What's he up to? Gonna lock himself in and take the monoxide route?
Come on. Are there back doors in that garage?
Not that I know of. Here, wait a minute. Van Hook! This is the police! We've got men all around this place. Turn off that engine and come out of there with your hands over your head. Don't be a fool, Van Hook. You haven't got a chance. Come out of that garage! Van Hook!
That. He drove right through the door of his garage.
Come on, Lacey, the car.
Get after him, you guys. Get moving.
Yeah, come on, boys.
All right. Crazy fool.
He's getting into the side-swiping habit. See what he did to that other patrol car?
Yeah, they're okay. They're off and tailing us. Come on, step on it, Lacey.
This is one time we ought to have a Cosmo Roma.
Well, maybe he can outrun us, but with two cars on his tail, he may get careless, take chances. If so,
yeah, hang on.
Oh! Lacey, you could qualify for some of those road races yourself.
That guy's out of his head. Main highway like this, full of trucks and trailers.
Oh, don't worry about those guys. Those interstate truckers will give you a clear road after them. They're the best drivers in the country. Come on, hit your siren.
You're right.
Hey, you see, I told you those guys would give you the road.
Holy... Look! The trailer in front of him. And the oncoming truck. Van Hook's trying to squeeze through.
Pull up. Pull up, or we'll... Well, he squeezed through, all right. Squeezed right through the pearly gates. Expense account item 5, $38.75, room, two meals, and valet service at the Casa de Paz. Item 6, $191.60, airfare and incidentals, Palm Springs, California, back to Hartford. Expense account total, $474.84. Remarks? Well, justice is done in pretty strange ways sometimes. Kind of makes you think. Maybe it pays to tread the straight and narrow, doesn't it? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Sorry. We heard yours truly, Johnny Dollar, the suntan oil matter, with an original air date of the 10th of March, 1957, or as I mistook it, the Sultan oil matter. This has been Arthur, and you're listening to 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Thanks for listening.
If it's a 7-hour flight or a 45.